Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here right after Thrones. Matt Datz, Tim Curry here, reacting live to the Season 8 premiere. First of all, Curry, welcome back. Live bullets here.
Datz, it is great to be back.
Fantastic.
After the Season 8 premiere. Oh, it was awesome, and I'm ready to get going, get down to business.
Awesome, here. Awesome. So normally we go title of the episode to start off and how it came to be, but no title.
Yeah, no title. We know that they're keeping things very much under wraps this season.
Yes.
And they stuck to their word with that, and they did not release a title before the episode. Maybe one will come out afterward, but now I'm looking at the HBO site. It just says TBA, so they haven't announced anything. Maybe they will after the fact, but right now we're just riding blind.
Absolutely, riding blind, but we're back. It's been 2 years, and we are cooking. So let's just jump right off from the start. Gecko, opening scene. We got to... Who's it going to be? Some random kid.
Well, first we had the new intro.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself. Go ahead.
So we had the new intro, which, you know, we always see the Game of Thrones intro. They have all, like, the different cities popping up and castles and kingdoms. And we've seen throughout the series that, you know, based on the plot and the storyline and where certain characters are, they've added different cities and taken cities away from the intro. But this intro... It started out with the wall and Eastwatch. There's the big hole in the wall.
Yes.
They go down past Last Hearth, the Umbers, and basically it's the path the White Walkers are planning on taking, basically, is what it looked like to me. New intro, definitely something to watch as the season goes forward.
Yeah, and they don't normally change. Do they normally change it mid-season?
It happens, yeah.
Yeah, when things go down.
Depending on the plot, yeah.
Absolutely. So we get started. We're thinking, who's the first thing we're going to see? What is going to happen? Blah, 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 blah. We get a random kid.
Yeah, random kid. Just we saw the same shot in the preview of that random kid in the tree looking at, as the armies roll in.
Yeah, so side by side, here come the Queen and Jon Snow, formerly King of the North. And they come riding in. You see Arya. She's got a bit of a smirk on her face. And then they're just kind of, it's like a greatest hits. They're showing, like, all these people, the Hound, come on in.
Gendry.
She's getting different reactions from all of them.
Yeah.
But then Jon and Dany come in.
Yeah. So Arya, she definitely wanted to call out to Jon.
Yeah, you saw it.
But luckily she saved it. They had a nice little moment later. But, so Jon and Daenerys roll into Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're talking and saying, you know, the Northerners aren't very trustworthy of outsiders. We see the dragons fly in and everyone.
The dragon was the, yeah.
That had an effect. You know, that was Daenerys like, all right, yeah.
Flex
I got
the muscles.
Here. Yeah, that was her flexing the muscles. But they roll up and they're greeted by Sansa, Lady of Winterfell, and Bran Stark, the whatever of Winterfell you want to call him.
Yeah. Three-eyed Raven, though.
Yeah, Three-eyed Raven. And his reaction with Jon is pretty standard Bran.
Yeah.
Jon's like, you know, you're a man now. And he says, you know. Not quite. Pretty emotionless.
Yeah, emotionless. We're accustomed to seeing that from Bran, for sure. Also, Unsullied coming in the winter garb. Everyone's like ready to roll up north. Just noting that there. Didn't see too much Dothraki, but horses. Arya's giving a little bit of a weird look. First words we get.
So, well, we get the interaction between Sansa and Daenerys.
But also before that, very first words. Are a balls joke.
Oh, of course.
A banter.
Tyrion and Varys. They're two great characters to share dialogue with, to share a scene with. And we get the eunuch jokes.
Yeah, the long awaited season 8 premiere. We get our first words are a joke between
a dwarf and a eunuch.
A dwarf and a eunuch. Very much so. So go ahead.
So yeah, so big takeaways from this reception at Winterfell is the visible tension between Daenerys and Sansa and Lyanna Mormont as well. You could see the visible tension, which she later expressed in the episode.
Before we go on, though, I do want to call out the first thing Bran starts.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I was getting there.
Okay. Cool.
So then, yeah, we have the visible tension between Sansa and Daenerys. Bran cuts to the chase and says, "You know,
there's no time.
Yeah, we don't have time for this." The dead are coming. They broke through the wall at Eastwatch. You know, they're going to be here soon. We don't have time.
And he's almost like picking up. We saw so much pace last season. He's just like our pace guy right now, setting the pace for the season, I feel
so
like.
So usually we're not big fans of Bran. I like that move. That was a good move from Bran.
Yeah, let's
actually
cut
the
shit.
Being very useful.
Let's roll, which I like for sure.
So then from there, we're still in Winterfell, and the new regime is kind of holding court. We got Sansa, Jon, Daenerys all at the head of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the big scene here is Lady Mormont, Lyanna Mormont, calls out Jon. And
you son know, of a gun.
Yeah. Lyanna Mormont, she has her flaws as a character because, you know, she's, again, like 9-10 years old, and
mm-hmm.
she's always, like, the bravest and, you know, has the best perspective in the room.
Of course.
But she has a point here. She has a point here. I will say she has a point. She says, you know, I don't know what to call you. Like, you were our king, and now right away you gave it away.
I'm not sure what you are now,
like, she says. What are we supposed to do? Like, how can we... We want to serve you. You're our king. You're our ruler, not her. And then, you know, John has a very good response, very
yeah.
good rebuttal. He says, you know, it was either my crown or protect the North.
Yeah.
So he did what he thought was best for the North, and that was to bend the knee to Daenerys, to ally with Daenerys. Good call.
Yeah, and he says, you know, you put your trust in me. I'm making this play. You know, respect my play. And it's still a little, you know, not everyone's feeling that for sure.
Yes.
So then
the tension continues to build. Tyrion
he only adds
floor.
To it.
Yeah, he takes the floor and says that the Lannisters are riding north soon. Now, with this scene, when Tyrion said that, it was a very quick line, very quick scene with Tyrion leading the floor. But we know that Tyrion had that talk with Cersei last season that was off camera.
Yes.
So we really don't know. Does he believe that? Is he truthful when he says that they're coming soon? Because we know they're not.
Yeah.
But no one else does. So,
and he says it again later, because we'll get to it with Sansa. And she calls him out for it. We'll get to it for sure. But, yeah, we don't know exactly what he's
so
thinking.
So, you gotta keep an eye on Tyrion this season. So,
for sure.
Because
of off-screen. Because of off-screen
yes,
action.
Because we don't know what happened at the end of last season.
Got it.
We get more tension with Sansa and Daenerys regarding...
Dragon diet.
Yeah, how are they going to feed everyone? How are they going to feed the dragons?
What do dragons eat anyway?
Yeah, Daenerys responds with, you know, they eat whatever they want. Just kind of sly little look.
Yeah, I mean,
side eye there.
She's not exactly coming in, you know, on her tippy toes, you know, trying to make friends, really. I don't know if it's because she knows the urgency of what's going on or if it's because she's, like, that's her, like, swagger.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more swagger.
And she does say that later to Jon. She says, look, she doesn't need to be my friend, but she needs to respect me as
yeah.
a queen. And that's just the truth of the matter.
It is. It is. Especially in these, and we saw it last season with Sansa in front of Jon, kind of like upending Jon in these public settings. And he's like, if you have a problem with me, let's talk about it in private. You know, don't, you know, in front of my bannermen, don't be calling me out. But she does it again here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's your girl Sansa.
Yeah, big Sansa fan. And she gets a lot of credit early on in this episode from Arya, from Tyrion, from Jon. You know, so after this, after they hold court, we see Sansa and Tyrion have a scene, you know, the first time they're together since the...
Are they still married?
Yeah, right. So, first time they're there since the wedding, since Joffrey's wedding.
Yeah.
And also Joffrey's death. So that was...
Good banter.
Good banter
a lot
there,
of good
yeah.
banter in the episode.
Yeah, some good lines, some good dialogue. You know, Tyrion said it was a, you know, a dismal affair, and she says it had its moments.
It had its moments for sure.
But yeah, so Tyrion says that she's been underestimated her whole life, basically, and she's outlived all these people that have underestimated her. And he believes Cersei, allegedly,
yeah.
And Sansa calls him out right away. She says, you know, I used to think you were the most clever person I've ever met.
Yeah.
The most clever person in the world.
And the notes I took is like, has Tyrion lost his touch a little bit? Because... Back in the day, it was true. He was like, you know, he could put his finger on anything. He realized mm-hmm. what was going on. And now we've seen him, you know, with Olenna going down in Highgarden, with the Sand Snakes getting gripped up on the seas, all that. So, you know, he used to be the master chess player, you know, the mastermind.
He's on a bit of a cold streak.
Cold streak for sure. And she's calling him out because he's continuing the cold streak if he does actually, you know, what we're led to believe Cersei's coming up from the south.
So, from this scene, we get the long-awaited Jon and Arya reunion.
Yes.
And this was, you know, a high moment of the episode, heartwarming.
Because they were boys.
Yes, they were the closest siblings. I mean, Jon was always kind of kept at arm's length by some members of the family, definitely by Sansa. Cat Stark kept him way more than
football,
an arm's length.
Football
yeah,
fields.
She didn't want anything to do with him. But the rest of the family didn't embrace him as much as Arya did. Ari always treated him, you know, like her older brother.
And they're a couple of killers, man. They're a couple of warriors.
Yes, yeah. They have a lot of similarities, common interests. They've both been through a hell of a lot since they've seen each other.
Yes.
I mean, as all the Starks have, but these two have had similar paths, I guess you
could
say.
And we get some needle banter. Have you used it yet? A couple times,
yeah.
So it's good stuff.
And then from this,
go ahead.
Arya defends Sansa. You know, she says that she's defending the family, and Jon says, "I'm your family too." And she says, "Don't forget that." So she also says that Sansa's the smartest person I've ever met.
Yeah, because Jon was almost mocking her a little bit. He says, "You know, your sister doesn't like the queen, and
she always thinks she's the smartest person in the room." Or something like that. Which I can identify with that. I have the same character flaw as she does there with that.
But that being said, it's not. It is a little like a peek at John's thought process, where it's like Sansa's kind of like a pain in my ass, as opposed to like respected view of my sister.
Yes.
And Arya kind of slaps back like, "No, like listen, she's smart. Like respect her."
And that's kind of a callback to the Lord Baelish thing from last season. That makes me think that Sansa was really the brains behind that plan.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, what other Arya and Sansa have, you know, kind of a troubled path? They weren't boys growing up, you know what I'm saying?
They weren't tight.
And then all of a sudden she's saying she's the smartest person. She used to think she was just
a stupid girl
that
with
wanted to be a queen.
Dresses.
Yes, exactly. So this Littlefinger, and we didn't get any homage to Littlefinger in this show, in this episode, but, you know, except for maybe that.
And to be honest, Sansa, she kind of was a stupid little girl originally.
Yeah.
If you'll remember, all the way back in season one, she, like, stuck up for Joffrey. She was head over heels for Joffrey. She wanted to be the queen and all that. Like, she kind of was a stupid little girl. And she is really grown up between being, you know, held by the Lannisters and Cersei and
Bolton.
Experiencing all that. Littlefinger, Boltons, everything she's been through, she has really come a long way and learned
a lot.
And
she says she's learned from people like Cersei and Littlefinger. Right before the Littlefinger death, she says, like, "I'll never forget the lessons you've taught me."
Yeah.
So she's kind of in a twisted way had these mentors that are helping her in this kind of war type chess.
Yeah, she has definitely learned how the game is played.
Absolutely, for sure. And it's abundantly clear. So, and maybe not so much to Jon, though.
Yeah, Jon is still learning exactly like the political moves, the deception.
Yeah. And he doesn't really hadn't seen these Sansa, you know, progression yet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we get the Jon and Arya reunion. From this, we get our first, we wheel down all the way to King's Landing.
We were wheeling. For sure.
So we get
first wheeling of the year.
Yes. So we get Cersei. She's kind of got all her soldiers out on the deck and looking over the bay. And we have Harry Strickland, the Golden Company, Euron Greyjoy's ship's fleet coming in.
Yeah.
So she's flexing her muscles a little bit as everyone comes in. And Qyburn.
Qyburn.
Qyburn rolls up and he says, "I have some bad news.
Grave news,
Grace,
yes.
But the dead have broken through the wall," and Cersei says, "Good."
Good. She's in full Cersei
mode. She's cold-blooded.
It's big time. It's big time Cersei power moves, and she's feeling herself. So I like it.
I mean, she's crazy. I mean, Jaime said this to her last season, but, like, if the dead win, they come down and kill us all. If Daenerys and the dragons win, they come down and kill us all. Like, there's no win for Cersei in this situation, but, I mean, you can't underestimate.
Yeah, and she's playing the cards. She's been dealt. You know, making the best of the situation, getting Euron, getting the Golden Company. You know, when she met with the Iron Bank to say, "Hey, back me." So she's playing. She is a small hand, but she's trying to play it as well as she can.
Yes. So from this, we have Euron and Captain Harry Strickland actually arriving in King's Landing.
Some useless Yara Greyjoy banter.
Yeah, we get Yara Greyjoy.
I'm out on that.
Yeah, we'll touch on that briefly, but as far as the Golden Company go, so we know they have 20,000 men, a few less because Euron killed some, because it's what he does. He's crazy. He's
senseless.
A wild card. So they have 20,000 men. They have a ton of horses. They do not have elephants, which was rumored and which Cersei heard, and
yeah,
she was upset about that. She wanted elephants, but I'm glad they don't, because how would they get elephants across the sea on those boats? It doesn't make sense. It's dumb.
Know.
Glad they didn't have elephants.
Got it.
But yeah, so we'll just finish off this Euron-Cersei storyline here, because they do cut away. But she says the one thing, she says, "You're a true friend of the crown," which made me think of that Dilly Dilly, you know?
Yeah, classic, true friend of the crown.
Bud Light commercial. But yeah, Euron, he wants the queen, wants to have sex with Cersei, obviously. He's been saying that for a while now.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, if you want a queen, you have to earn her. And he's like, how, you know, I've done that. I've done all this. I've brought you an army. I've slayed your enemies. Like, mm-hmm. I've done all this. And finally, you know, she gives in. You know, he's cocky. He's arrogant. She's into it.
She's into it. That's the thing. Before we continue, I just want to remind anyone listening, right after GOT, the Twitter, if you're listening on in podcast form, we are live every week right after the show. And we are taking your reactions. We're compiling them right now, and we'll get to them a little bit later in the program.
And if you are listening live right now, make sure you check out the podcast tomorrow. Rate, review, subscribe, download. We appreciate that.
Love that. All right, let's keep rolling. Go ahead.
So just to wrap up the Cersei and Euron scene, so they go to bed together. And afterward, again, she says that you're the most arrogant man I've ever met. She's into it.
She's into
it. You know, he's probing her. He's, you know, measuring his dick. He's saying, oh, am I as good as Robert? Yeah. Am I as good as the Kingslayer? And
She doesn't tip her hand with the Kingslayer.
No, but she doesn't really have to at this
point. I know. But I'm just saying.
But the key thing here was the ending. He says, I'm going to put a prince in your belly. And we know that.
This is big.
Allegedly, she claimed last season that she was pregnant.
To Tyrion and Jaime.
And
she is still drinking wine, though.
She was drinking wine.
I don't
know
what the deal is with that.
She also, yeah, I mean, it's not like you can't drink wine, but.
It's not a good thing. But anyway. Whatever.
So she was pregnant at the end of last season. We know between that episode and now, Euron had enough time to go to Essos, get the Golden Company, and bring him back.
Wheeling.
So you would think that she would be more along in her pregnancy. Yeah. I don't know how early it was when they know. Maybe it's kind of a different type of technology. Maybe they know right away. But I would think that she would be showing something at some point. So I think we have to be skeptical of Cersei with this pregnancy. She could be lying to get her way, to manipulate people.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility.
Also, and I think the other big implication here is, I don't know the birth control, going on down there, but if she is pregnant, say she is pregnant,
yes.
Right? Now it's everyone thinks, especially more importantly, Euron thinks it's his kid.
Yeah.
So if she is pregnant with Jaime's kid, and this season progresses where we have a pregnant Cersei, it's going to be under the thinking that it's Euron's kid.
Yeah, so.
And that could be big.
I think that's big. It could be big because we know Euron isn't exactly the most loyal guy.
Yeah.
And especially now that he's had sex with Cersei, like, that was really his prize. That was what he wanted the most.
Yeah.
And he even said that to Yara.
Yep.
He says,
I'll just sail out.
She says you joined the wrong team, the losing side. He says, that's fine. I'll just take the Iron Fleet and sail somewhere else as long as I get to have sex with the queen. So,
but first, that's what I'm going to do.
So he got what he wanted, but if
his namesake.
Yeah, if his heir is, if he thinks she's carrying his child, he'll probably be loyal
to her,
stay around, because then, his son's going to be king. So that's
it's all the reason to stay around. Exactly. So very intriguing. We'll be following that going forward. I think it's potentially major implications. Did you think Cersei was going to give in? I didn't think so,
but I guess, as I was watching, I was like, okay, she's giving in. Right off the bat, I didn't think so, and I thought maybe she wouldn't ever. Like, I thought maybe this is just her game.
She even said, the end of the war,
But, yeah.
Exactly. All right, moving on.
So then, just to wrap up Theon and Yara as well. So Theon saves Yara in 2 minutes.
This is cheesy.
A bit much for me.
Yep. This is bad Thrones, in my opinion.
Yeah, this was bad Thrones. It doesn't really make much sense. Why would it be so easy? This was like Theon's climax last season. Was like, yes, we're gonna go save Yara.
Yes,
and he does it in like 2 seconds. They kill 3 guys and that's it.
So. Exactly. He walks on. He knows exactly where she's at. Boom, boom,
so,
boom.
So I mean, look, the Greyjoy plotline, for the most part, irrelevant to the endgame. So I don't want to waste too much time with it, but it happened. I'm gonna complain about it, but it happened. They got it out of the way.
Yeah, I think. Where we thought, and we talked in the prediction show, Theon goes down in a brave moment trying to save Yara. We think it gets extended, this character, more step.
Previously, we thought it would have been, Theon dies saving Yara, and that kind of completes his arc, his redemption.
Yeah.
But now it could be, since he says he's going to go fight for the Starks, because as you said last season, you're a Greyjoy and you're a Stark.
Yeah, so Jon told him.
So he's going back to fight for the Starks. Yara gives him her blessing. So now he'll most likely, that redemption gets transferred to the Starks instead of Yara.
Exactly. She says she's going back to the Iron Islands.
Kind of a coward move there.
She's saying,
to be honest. Which yeah. It's not like the Ironborn. They're always talking about, you know, the iron price.
Yes,
and, you
exactly.
know, go out with your boots on, that kind of thing. Like, and her response is, we're going to go to the Iron Isles just in case, you know, they get... In yeah. case they need to retreat, you yeah. know, they can come back to our place.
It is a little bit of a weak play. I didn't even think about that.
Not a great episode for the Ironborn.
Yeah. Could potentially have implications down the line. I doubt it, though. I don't know if we see Danny and the squad rolling up to...
I don't think they're going to be going down to Pike to the Iron Isles. No.
I think we may never see Yara again, and then...
I think we'll see her again. I think... I don't think you can have that loose end. I think most of the loose ends are going to be tied up this season. But.
Yeah. Okay. Continuing on. So, and we will get to all the tweets flying in. Tweets are absolutely flying in, and we very much appreciate it.
We will absolutely get to them in just a bit. So, from the Greyjoys, from the Iron Isles, from Euron and Cersei, we head back to Winterfell. Winterfell was where most of the action was this episode, and rightfully so. That's
absolutely.
Where most of the power players are. So, we have Davos, Tyrion, and Varys. Three great... You know, minds,
man.
Great banter, great dialogue, great thinkers. We have
some old men too.
Yeah, so they have some good dialogue, and the big takeaway from their conversation, Davos says, you know, these people are loyal to Jon. She has to earn her loyalty. You know, that's the way of the Northerners. You know, they're stubborn people.
And he's learned. He said
he's learned.
They're stubborn, very stubborn.
So. And then he also kind of proposes a proposal of some sort is the way it's expressed. Says, you know, everyone's kind of in agreement. Like, look, yeah, it would make sense. You know, they're two good two good leaders, and they're loyal, they're honorable. Westeros has never seen something like that, you know?
An
honorable man and a good female leader, like, this would be huge.
Big time. And these are the kind of people who sometimes like set these things in motion.
Yeah, so they all have influence over, some sort of influence over Daenerys and over Jon.
Absolutely.
So this could happen. But as Lord Varys the Spider says, it's a reminder that nothing lasts. He says, that's talking about like old men being around them.
Exactly.
The young. He says, you know, it's a reminder that nothing lasts. So he's skeptical. He's a skeptic. That's the way his character is.
Absolutely.
So that's something to be careful of.
Now we get back to the dragon diet. I didn't know this was going to be a plot line, but the dragons got to eat.
Yes. So the dragons are, I think they said, I forget what term it was, but they're like sick, right? Is that what someone said?
It's like they're, yeah.
They were like throwing up bones or something?
It was, they're yeah. It's
something like that.
They're
so
not, they're
basically,
not well. They're not feeling it.
Yeah, the dragons are not feeling well in the north.
Cold, they don't like the cold.
It's too cold. This isn't their environment. So Jon and Daenerys decided to go for a ride. Pretty wild here. I wasn't a big fan of this, just because...
Someone compared it to Harry Potter's ride around on broomsticks.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look... Like,
rom-com.
The visuals was cool. The visuals were great. I just think that Daenerys, she's so protective of her dragons.
This is
big. She knows how the dragons are. They're dangerous. They don't trust most people. To have her say to Jon, oh, get up and give him a ride. Like, if you fall, it's nice knowing you. Like... That was a little much for me, because I think he should be more worried, more wary of the dragons. Just like, look, I'm going to pass. Like, there's no need for me to ride the dragons, because he doesn't know he's a Targaryen yet.
No.
I think if he knew he was a Targaryen, then it would be like, all right, this is my blood, my destiny. I'm going to ride this dragon. But he didn't know that.
It's so, more like, oh, I have this cool car. Like, hop in, like, trying to impress her boyfriend. You know, like, tough. But then we get to this waterfall scene. And there's a kind of a parallel to a previous scene.
Yeah, so they go on their little ride. It's pretty cool visually. And they land somewhere in this wintry area. But there's a cool waterfall and possibly like a cave area.
Yeah.
And Daenerys says to Jon, we could just stay here for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, no one would know. And that just, it draws parallels to Jon's previous love, Ygritte. When they were in the cave together. So it wasn't
north
a waterfall,
wall.
But it was a cave. There were some waterfalls, some hot springs. And she says, you know, let's just stay in this cave forever. And that's just... So there's just parallels there between Ygritte and Daenerys. And John's, I'm sure John sees it. But
and what I'm thinking is, and that's what I wrote down, is just like, this is, you know, we only have so much, we only have so much screen time. You know, maybe it's a little bit of a waste of screen time. It plays at the hearts a little bit. But also, like, you think, like, they would just be, like, game planning, like, so hard right now. Like, you know,
that's like what Brand said. Brand's a businessman.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been anti-Brand for since the time this show started. But, like, it just, like, you would think they would just be, like, game plan. Like, this is the battle of our lives. Like, you know, the wall's down. Like, how are we going to beat these guys? Like, blah, blah, blah. So there was a little bit of, and I know it's, you know, they're playing to the entertainment side. But it's like, come on. Like, all right, like, let's shape up. We got to, you know, we can't be rolling around out here, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to just rewind for a second back to Cersei, something I skipped over, was with Bronn. Bronn, I marked him for Death Watch right at the beginning of the episode just because I wasn't really sure. We haven't seen him in any previews, any trailers, and we know that he is kind of a lone wolf down in King's Landing.
His boy's out of there.
Yeah, Jaime's not there. You know, we don't really know what his deal is at the moment. So he's with three girls. He's enjoying himself for the most part. He was annoyed they were talking too much, not getting to work. And and Qyburn interrupts. And, you know, what the hell, Qyburn? Like, why you always got to be
that's classic that Qyburn, yeah, man.
Creepy, man. but anyway, so he's like, oh, you know, the queen has a proposal for you. She wants you to come out here. And my initial thought was like, oh, this is the end of Bronn. Like, this isn't good. You know, he's going to go down there.
The mountains,
Yeah, she's going to be like, you're loyal to my brothers. My brothers are not loyal to me. I don't need you. Something like that.
You're out of here.
But instead, Qyburn presents him with a crossbow and says, Cersei has put a bounty on her two treasonous brothers.
There's a lot of gold outside.
Well, yeah, she can give you more than anyone else in the world can at the moment. You know, like, so that's interesting.
What do you think?
Well, on one hand, we know that Bronn, he's a sellsword, he's a cutthroat, this is what he does.
This is like a DNA thing.
This is what he does, this is what he's done his whole life. He will sell his sword, he will kill for the highest bidder. And that's what he's done all season, basically.
Yeah,
all season. He has made that clear to both Tyrion and Jaime at different points. Like, look, like I'm a sellsword, we're not friends, this is a business relationship.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, I mean, he spent so much time with the two of them. He's been friends with them.
And people might
it's tough.
People might think, you know, if you watch it live and have look watch back, like, oh, it's just like him and Jaime are boys. But him and Tyrion were like the original boy. Like they were like that's how it all started.
Yep.
He fought for Tyrion
for money.
For his life, and then they traveled around together, and then it got to Jaime. So these are like his two, you know, boys.
Yeah. So
there's no chance it happens.
I don't think it happens either, but I mean, it's just an interesting dynamic to put Bronn in, because it's really testing his allegiance to like and his true nature of
exactly
of being a sellsword. So, yeah, I don't think it happens either, but it's going to be interesting to see what road this takes.
Absolutely, and we'll be seeing more of this season for sure. Moving along, let's keep it cooking here.
So, something we haven't touched on yet is Gendry. So Gendry, we saw in the previews that he is in charge of the armory, in charge of the dragonglass, making dragonglass weapons, and he's making a big axe for the Hound, and Arya rolls up on the two of them, and it's
a little something something.
It's a good reunion. I really enjoyed the Arya and the Hound reunion. I thought maybe there could have been a little more emotion shown, but they both kind of...
Yeah, I thought like maybe a Hound hug was coming.
I didn't think a hug was coming, but maybe some sort... Maybe a smile.
Or like a handshake.
And there was nothing. There was just like... Like she had like a little bit of like an eyebrow move. Like he said, you know, you're a cold bitch, you know? Like that's the Hound's way of saying like, you know, good on you.
I approve. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're in. But still, yeah.
So like that's just how they are. It was a good moment. I thought they could have showed a little more emotion, but good moment.
Got it.
Then we get the Hound. So we get Arya and Gendry. And... That was a good reunion. Some good banter. The same one they had before, where he calls her M'lady and you know, Lady Stark, and he's kind of like a, you know, typical guy who's like nervous about talking to a girl. He's just like, oh yeah, you look good. Like doesn't know what to say. He's not smooth. It was funny. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I know.
But definitely some good chemistry between the two of them, romantically, some flirting a little.
Yeah, Big takeaway, though, she asked him for this weapon.
Yes. So she had this weapon on a scroll, which to me looked kind of like what we saw her wielding in the previews. It was like a big, like a bow staff, like a spear.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got her needle. She's got her dagger. I guess she thinks she's going to need something bigger.
Dragon glass.
Something. And that's kind of what she practiced with when she was fighting with, like, the waif.
Yeah.
Was, like, a big, like, a bow staff, like a broomstick type thing. So.
Got it.
So I think it's something like that with dragon glass.
Not some sort of, like, something to take down a dragon or anything like that?
No. I don't think so.
No. It's good. Go ahead.
So from there, from Arya and Gendry, we get back to Sansa and Jon. And Sansa finds out that Lord Glover is staying in Deepwood Mott. They're not coming to Winterfell to support the Starks, the battle.
Yeah, implications
and
here.
They're both pissed. They're like, you know, didn't he say that he would always support them now because he didn't before, after the Battle of the Bastards, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, they're pissed. And Sansa's like, look, like, this is what happened. He said he would support the Starks, not the Targaryens. And Jon says, look, I brought the armies home to protect the North. The titles don't matter. Like, we need her. And that's the truth.
And that is, yeah, that is the truth. Like, he's trying to make it as clear as possible,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of frustrating. But you can see it from both sides where Dany's not, you know, being a super courteous, but
mm-hmm.
so you got to swallow your pride.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's what it comes down to, is that if they want to survive, they need her on their side in this fight against the undead.
Yeah.
That's bottom line. And I think it's just tough to express that to people that haven't experienced it, people that don't fully understand what's
coming.
That's
the thing.
And they don't have time to explain that to everyone.
Exactly. Very, very true.
And then Sansa calls him out and says, you know, she's much prettier than her father. Did you bend the knee for the North or because you love her?
Cut away.
So that was, she's smart. She's got lines. She's on it.
She's on it for sure. But does he even tell her? I think he just, I don't know.
I don't think he needs to say anything to that, because the truth is it's probably both.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely for the North, like, but now he loves her. Did he originally when he bent the knee?
When he bent the knee in the dragon pit, there was no,
there was no physical intimacy.
Consummation
yet,
of the alliance. But no, interesting nonetheless.
So the next scene we see, still in Winterfell, this might have been the most interesting scene.
Biggest implications
in
the
episode.
I think biggest implications right here.
Well, these next two scenes, they go hand in hand with Samwell Tarly. So we have Jorah and Daenerys. They walk into Sam's library, Sam's study, wherever it is. And Sam's all, you know, nervous. He's a nervous guy. And she's like, you know, oh, are you the one who did this? And he's, yeah, what did I do? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, she wanted to thank him for saving Jorah and reward him, make him, you know, said that there would be changes at the Citadel.
When she takes over. I think that could have implications, but continue. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, he mentions that he needs a pardon because
he's done some things.
Yeah, he stole some books from the Citadel. He left the Citadel.
They're kind of laughing at him. It's like a jokey moment.
And he stole the rightful House sword from his father. And he says, you know, House Tarly.
Ooh,
and then
you were right on this.
Yeah, you see it in her face. It's just like, oh, shit. Like,
this is going to get weird.
Randall Tarly. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know him? And
yikes.
Yeah, I do. So, yeah, so she, I mean, I give her credit. She just came up and said it. Yeah, she's flat out said it. She didn't sugarcoat it. She said, look, your father.
I gave him a chance.
He could have bent the knee, but he chose not to. So I executed him. And now, I think if it was just his father, Sam would have been okay with it.
He was. Because he even said, at least I can go home now.
Because his father sucked. But
the bro.
So Dickon Tarly as well, who was, they didn't really show him and Sam's relationship that much. It was just he was the better son in the eyes of the father. So I think there could have been some resentment there between him and Sam, but they didn't really show that.
We didn't know. But he's all like, oh, at least I can go home now. He's like trying to like, but no.
Yeah,
dice.
He was trying to see the silver lining, and there is no silver lining. Like, your brother's dead. Your dad's dead. She's the one that killed them. And this is what Tyrion kind of warned her of even when it happened. Like, look, these are important houses. Like, you can't, like, there's no need to execute them. They can be prisoners. Put them in a cell. They'll change their mind.
Exactly.
And
And there's no downside. There's no
downside. There was no downside.
They would understand if a prisoner.
So that's kind of the Mad King side of her, because that's what the kind of thing her father would have done.
Yeah, boom. And she's like, you know, and this is Tyrion's advising against. You see Tyrion's face last season when she's doing stuff like this. It's like, whoa, like what the hell? But I mean, there's a lot of talk of Tyrion, traitor Tyrion. We didn't get any semblance of like anything of that this episode.
No.
He's all talking about the future. Yeah. He's doing all that. So
after Sam, he excuses himself from this awkward, horrible conversation with Daenerys. He walks outside and sees Bran Stark,
Bran the man,
Raven,
Mr. Business,
the Bran wagon,
the Bran wagon.
Bran says he's waiting for an old friend.
Ooh, perfect.
A great line. And he says, "But it's time for you to tell John." And Sam's like, well, you're his brother. He says, no, like, you're his brother. Like, you're...
And he's like, I'm not even his brother. Like, literally not even his brother.
Yeah, so you got to tell him. So Sam goes down to the crypts to tell John. John's in the crypts. He's lighting candles. We see Ned Stark's statue. I think we saw the Lyanna Stark statue as well.
Think he might have, yeah.
And it's a good reunion. Big hug. Said, what are you doing here? You already read all the books in the Citadel, and... Sam is just, he's still carrying this.
Yeah, that's the thing. He went in with the emotion, man.
He's still carrying the emotion from Daenerys, from her confession. And he just says, did you know, like, about what she did to my father and brother? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
She executed
them. So he says that she executed them. They were prisoners. Like, would you have done it?
He's on fire. He's super serious.
Yeah, we usually don't see Sam like this. He's usually pretty timid. But, yeah, he says, would you have done it? And... John, he's torn because he wants to support Daenerys.
Exactly.
And he doesn't want to disappoint Sam, and maybe he wouldn't have done it. He's been a merciful king, but merciful ruler before.
So Sam says.
But he's also executed men on Night's Watch, but, they killed him. They literally killed him.
So literally.
It's tough to forgive
that. R.I.P. Ollie. Had it coming.
God, that guy sucked. So this is an emotional scene, and it comes out. Sam says, John's defending Daenerys and says, she's the queen. We have to support her.
I wasn't a king when I did
that. Yeah, I wasn't a king. And he says, you've always been a king, the king of the Seven Kingdoms. And
I'm talking about the bloody Seven Kingdoms or whatever.
So basically, he reveals to John who his parents are, and John is just visibly shook.
Yeah.
He's torn up.
It's super serious. He's shaking.
Yeah. He just doesn't know how to respond. Like, this is a huge bomb.
This is everything. This is his whole life.
This is seven seasons building up to this.
You're a bastard. Cat Stark doesn't talk to him. You have to go to the wall. You're not part of it. You don't get a dire wolf. Oh, you get to run a litter. It's all this stuff.
And he says, first thing he says is, my father, referring to Ned Stark, was the most honorable man, in the Seven Kingdoms.
You're telling me this guy lied to me?
You're telling me he's lied to me my entire life.
And Sam's got the perfect response, though.
Yeah, Sam's response that... He had to. He promised to Lyanna, to his sister, that he would protect you, and
Robert would have had you killed.
Robert
right away.
Would have had you killed, and he's right. He's right, and that shows Ned's honor, because he kept that promise to his sister.
And he caught shit from Cat Stark all the time about it.
Yeah, he got so much shit from his wife, but he did the honorable thing. He is still the honorable Ned Stark.
It is. Special stuff.
So that was tough for John, and that's going to be the big thing for next episode, is just where does John go with this?
Because it
seemed like he wasn't happy about it. He wants Daenerys on the throne.
And Sam pushed back on him because he said, Sam, I bent my knee, blah, blah, blah. Sam says, I'm looking for the right quote, but he's saying
says you're Aegon, sixth of his name,
protector of the realm,
ruler of men, all that. Yeah.
And then he says, like, you gave up your title for your people, would she do the same?
Yes.
And I think this is a potentially thickening plot line where you understandably have Sansa and Arya moderately against Daenerys, but then to get Sam kind of in his ear.
To get the Northern Lords, it's brewing.
It's brewing. And with Sam, it is Sam, like, this is yours. No, you got to claim it. This is yours, man. So it wasn't like Sam would normally be tiptoeing around it. Yeah, we'll see what we want to do. He's like, no. This is yours. Let's see how she reacts. He's got a bone to pick with her, and I think it's going to thicken big time. Big time.
Yeah, so that wraps up things in Winterfell for now. And we're going to take a quick second here to pause and take a little break, but we'll be back in just a second. For those of you listening live, we'll be back in a very quick second. Okay, and we're back. Thank you for holding there.
All good.
Everything is good on our end. Here we go, back to Thrones. We have Tormund, Beric, and crew. This was one of the final scenes we see here.
Dark as hell. I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, it was very dark. Like, dark TV. On? I mean, Thrones always has like very dark scenes. Like
Blackwater is like in pitch black.
But it was tough to see here. And at this point, I'm on the edge of my seat trying to figure out what's going on. I'm trying to figure out where they are.
Plan angles, yeah.
What's going on. And I did see the sigil, but I didn't recognize it at first as the Umber sigil. But it was the Umber sigil, we find out later. They're at the last hearth, which makes sense because...
Give us a geography.
So the geography of the north. So we know that the White Walkers came through Eastwatch by the sea, which is kind of the northeast
most.
Yeah, the most northeast of Westeros, of the north, up until you get past the wall.
We even saw the water on the side of the wall.
So from there, if you go south and west, you will eventually get to Winterfell. But before you get to Winterfell, the first stop is the Last Hearth, which is the seat of the Umbers. And little Ned Umber...
Yeah, confirm, you know, Ned Umber's the kid who said, we'll go back
He's the young ruler.
Beginning of the episode, he gets featured.
Yeah,
he needs wagons.
He was in the beginning of the episode saying, we need horses, we need wagons, you know, and Sansa said, you can get what we can give you and hurry back. Unfortunately, he did not make it. So the White Walkers have been there already. Tormund, Beric, the rest of them, they're like, you know, scoping it out.
Yeah.
And they run into Ed and his crew, and they were together at Eastwatch when the wall came down. So
yeah.
Coast is clear, but they go into like a great hall type area. And they see that little Ned Umber is pinned against the wall. There's like dismembered arms and limbs in this White Walker symbol that we've seen before.
George in the Forest.
And Ned Umber, he's dead. They're talking about it.
Death Watch.
He was on Death Watch. Nailed it.
Umber.
One out of three. Yeah, Dead Umber. And he comes to life. His eyes are blue. And he just lets out a scream and... Beric quickly lights him on fire with a flaming sword.
Boom.
And it was a slow burning death, screaming the whole time. Probably not good. We know we've seen the White Walkers, the undead. We've seen the whites scream before, and that kind of alerts the rest of them.
Yeah.
So I think that's not good for them.
Yeah, bad, bad, bad sign.
So.
But the symbol's important.
The symbol's important. We've seen it before. A couple times here and there. We saw it. I think Bran saw it in a vision of the Fist of the First Men. Mm-hmm. We've seen it when in the vision of the White Walkers being created. We saw
created
that symbol
that with the Children of the Forest
in season one. I think it was we saw White Walkers killed some Rangers or wildlings and left their bodies in that
formation.
That symbol is it's important. Look, we don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't explained anything like that on the show. But it's something to do with the White Walkers and the Children of the Forest.
Yeah,
so.
And the creation. I think, I mean, plausible, you can maybe say it's just like, they're just so, like, this was featured when they were created, and, like, this is maybe them saying, like, because they're mostly pissed, that, like, they could possibly be pissed that they were created. Like, this is, they're mad about how this whole thing went down. They're, you know, they're living this life. So, it could be that, but we will for sure see what goes down with that.
So, yeah, that was a tough scene. That was scary, to be honest.
You were like, shit.
We have a lot of people tweeting in saying that they were scared of that scene, nearly had a heart attack, you know, that was the worst part of the episode was that scream, almost died when that thing on the wall snarled at them. Yeah, I mean, that was scary.
It was big time, yeah. It was good, and it was you know, some action, a little action. We got some action.
And then just to wrap up the episode,
this
part was great. We have... The Kingslayer himself, Jaime Lannister, arrives in Winterfell.
Hood on.
He's hooded. He's disguised. And, you know, we said he's not really looking too good. And he gets to Winterfell. And who does he see? Very first person waiting for an old friend is Bran Stark.
Bran the wagon. I love that we're on this now. It's fantastic.
It's great because, obviously, Jaime is the one who he pushed Bran out of the window in that tower, and that kind of put a lot of these events in motion.
Huge, huge play.
So,
full circle.
How's Bran going to react? Now, we know Bran is not normal. He's not himself anymore. He's the Three-Eyed Raven. So, I don't think he's like going to be looking for revenge or anything or have any sort of animosity towards Jaime. I think he's going to be like, you know, very understanding. Like, look, you know, it had to be done. Like,
yeah.
This was kind of, you know, this is my destiny.
Now I'm the
choice.
Three-Eyed Raven. Like, yeah.
Something like that.
And we see, and this is why it's kind of like a buzzkill, is just like, we know that Jaime fights in the Battle of Winterfell, episode 3. Mm. So, there's not like any, like, it all goes okay for Jaime.
Yeah. So, but we do see, let's just touch on the preview real quick.
Yeah.
The preview didn't give us much that we hadn't seen already.
Yeah, true.
But one of the things we saw was Daenerys holding court with Jaime as kind of
In the Littlefinger spot.
Yeah, and she says, you know, my brother used to tell me a bedtime story about the man who murdered our father, about all the things we would do to that man. And that's Jaime.
He's right there.
The Kingslayer.
He's living. It's tough because it's like he's making the honorable play right now.
He is. He's turning his back. He's turned his back on Cersei. He's going to tell them that she's not supporting you guys.
The big thing is.
That's the big thing, yeah. And Tyrion, we'll see how he reacts. Does he know this already? Is he going to say, don't believe Jaime? Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be big. But we also know that, like, Jaime, we've seen throughout the series a couple times, like when he spoke with Brienne, when he spoke with Ned Stark, that he feels he was totally justified in killing the Mad King.
Like, yes.
It was a very intimate conversation with Brienne where he says, you know, basically he says, I saved the Seven Kings. I saved the
everything.
City. I saved the city because he would have burned them all. Like, I saved the city. And people don't know that. They just know that he's a Kingslayer, that he killed his king that he was supposed to protect. Stabbed him in the back.
There will be some dialogue there for sure. All ends up that he's in the battle. Maybe before he's about to get killed, the you know, it starts going down or something like that. But he does make it to episode 3. We know.
Yes, yeah. We'll see him. He'll survive next episode for sure.
All right. So let's start going to the tweets here. First, always retweet out. You know, what's your immediate reaction to the episode with a poll? Amazing, great, good, or average, and then poor. Where would you go, Curry?
So on that scale, if I were in my mind to change the scale from like the phrases we use to like the A, B, C and like a D and below scale, I would want to say like a B+.
Yeah.
But it like served its purpose. Like this was very good.
Table setter. Yeah. Really good table setter. I think if it's not the season 8 premiere, it maybe gets pinged down a little bit. But since we've been waiting for so long, it's just so good to have content. I think
it served its purpose. It picked up where it left off, filled us in on a lot of the events.
Played some heartstrings.
Yeah, you know, it filled us in
laughs.
On a lot of things that we needed to be filled in on, and it set things in motion for the season to come.
Yeah,
Table setter
for sure. My only qualm is that, you know, now we have 5 bullets left in the chamber, you know, so we got to get going big time. Table's been set. It's got to get piping hot quickly. Because, like I said, only 5 more weeks of this. You know, we talked before, you know, probably getting a table setter here. But that being said, it checked all the boxes that it needed to check. And I think we're queued up for an unbelievable 5-episode run here.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. We will be here every week.
Public agrees. Public, 14% amazing. I wouldn't go amazing. It wasn't amazing, I don't think. I think there was maybe some – the people are getting a little perturbed with
on that. On the scale of Thrones episodes, like,
yeah.
It's not in that upper echelon.
No.
It's solid. It's very
great,
solid.
High-quality Thrones. That's what 56% of the people say. 27% say good, average, and not special. Only 3% say poor and disappointing because it flat out
wasn't.
I will say
it was not a letdown for sure.
No.
There were parts that I didn't like, the Greyjoy thing. But other than that, I think it was –
Checked all the
boxes.
Absolutely. So, best part, worst part of the episode. Give me yours, Curry, and then I'm going to start shouting out a lot of people here for their answers. Best part of the episode.
Best part of the episode for me, I think I have to go with the Arya and Jon reunion.
Yeah, big time.
Now, Arya's not one of my favorite characters. I don't know. too much of a problem with her, but it was good to see the two of them back for the first time in seasons. I mean, they've both been through so much. They have a great relationship, and having them back together, it was a great moment.
Got it. So we'll start shouting out people here. Best part is from Miss Spongy Monkey. Like that Twitter handle. Best part, Sam's anger with Danny and the way he revealed John's true name. Worst part, Cersei giving it to Euron. Giving in to Euron. Not giving it, but giving in to Euron.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see that.
I'm down with that for sure.
Definitely. Look, the Sam scenes were great. They're definitely up there for this episode's highlights.
Got it. Best part from John Joranilla says, best part is when old allies and family members meet again for the first time in a while. Worst part, Sam Tarly found out Daenerys, you know, executed the boys for refusing to bend the knee. It was tough. Like, we don't normally see a Sam Tarly shaken up like we did. You know, he was pretty much crying. You know, he's a bit of a softy, but it was like he tried to play it off cool, and he was definitely shook up. Got someone saying mixed feelings. Always and forever, Arya Stark. So Arya's got the fans out there for sure. This one, I love this, and I love this development. Someone saying best parts, the Jaime Bran just at the end, the old friend, the adage there. Bran making plays for us, man. Normally we're so anti-Bran, but just the business-like attitude, and with a little bit of not banter, but just like humor in the way he delivers and what he says. I like it for sure. You want to keep cooking with some of these?
I'm just gonna share what I thought the worst moment was.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll pick out some of these good ones.
So for me, as I've said, the worst moment was just the very quick Theon saving Yara. It was just, things don't happen that quickly on this show, as we've seen in the past. To have it just be a cakewalk, like no questions asked, just archers, axe, like come on, let's get out of here. Like, it just didn't do it for me.
No.
I needed like a little more struggle. I'm glad it didn't take too much time.
Yeah, because screen time's an issue. But yeah, I agree. It's like, oh, guy's got an arrow in the head, and they're out of there. Okay, yep. Cool. Thrones, y'all. At Thrones, y'all tweets us, says, worst part, the animosity Arya seemed to have for the Hound went against everything I had in my head for their reunion. I thought the Faceless Men proved she was lying when she said she wanted him dead.
Go ahead. I feel that. I agree with that, Thrones, y'all. We know, you know, they said that Arya was lying when she said that she hated him and wanted him dead, and I don't think it was animosity there. I just think that with two characters like that,
cold,
the relationship they had, I think that's about, I said the same thing, I wanted a little more emotion, but I think what we got was about as much as we could get between the two of them based on the relationship. You know, they always had that relationship when they were together. It was like, I don't like you, you don't like me. But at the same time, we're companions, we're bonding here. Like, yeah.
We're on the road.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's why she didn't kill him. She would have killed him if she truly had that animosity for him. But
Gotta give our boy Bernie Man a shout out.
He says,
love Bernie Man listening. He says he's waiting for Daenerys to say, you know nothing, Jon Snow, on that date.
Oh, man, that'd be wild.
That would have been incredible, for sure. I love that. Love Bernie Man listening in. But another person saying that the worst part of the episode, this is at Brandy Dell, she's saying worst part of the episode was that date. And it says, ugh, not feeling it. So
okay, I understand.
I don't disagree. Keep the John Arya bear hugs getting a lot of love. Continuing on. Just someone said, a few people said, now Jon Snow knows something. And he knows that he's Aegon.
He does. That's a good one. He knows something now.
Best, a lot, some more worst being the John and Danny date. That's from Sour Apple Sports, sweeting us in. Best part, this is a classic line, I've always had blue eyes, from Tormund.
That was a funny line. That was a funny line.
There's a lot of those. There's a lot of these one-liners. I think when you have 2 years to write it, you're like, every word is analyzed.
Or how about Bronn, after his proposal he gets, he says, you know, oh, this fucking family.
Yeah, exactly, because this is what they do. The worst part, and it's from Z Dunleavy. I appreciate him listening in. He says, worst part, everyone worried about their titles when it really doesn't matter if they all die. And I couldn't agree with that more, I think. And it's just, like, frustrating because it's, like, Bran sees it, John sees it, and the other people are kind of playing politics a little bit, and it's just not the time for politics. And we all know it's not going to be about that. It is going to be about the fighting, but it is kind of just a get over.
Well, we know the big battle is episode 3.
Yep.
And from there, we know that the conflict is going to head south towards Cersei, but now we have this other conflict brewing of John, I don't want to say John versus Daenerys, but like the support for John's claim versus the support for Daenerys' claim. Like
it's going to be politics.
It's an issue.
It's going to be politics. Thinking about how that could go down, I mean, I don't know. It's very delicate situation. Because going back to, we talked about Jon Snow's whole life being not, you know, the chosen one, and being kind of the ugly runt or the ugly dunkling. It's been the complete opposite for Daenerys, and her whole life has been, this is my throne. I'm going back to my home. I'm claiming it. And she's about to get upended.
That's been her driving force for the entire series.
Everything.
Other than originally when it was Viserys who was, you know, this is my throne, but it didn't take long for her to overtake him for, you know, I'm the dragon, I'm the leader, like, the throne belongs to me.
Exactly. And Tyrion, and just in a rewatch I was just doing, Tyrion even says to her, I think this is actually like Marine or whatever, he says to her something like, hey, listen, like, the Westeros is a hellhole. Like, they're always fighting. It's all war. It's craziness. You have it here. You have it made here. Great weather. You know, great. Everyone loves you. Why not stay here and just live your days and be like a hero? You've done it. And she's like, no, I want to break the wheel. This is my calling. It's my throne. Blah, 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 blah. So she is so, it's so ingrained in her that she is the chosen one. And this is her throne to take. It could go haywire, I think, depending on how delicate they handle this heir situation, for sure.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, for sure. Just a few more here. Umber part was spooky. The noise it made. Drogon staring at Jon, snogging.
That was funny. Jon's hooking up with Daenerys, and Drogon is absolutely staring him down.
He's like, locked in.
I don't like this.
Not about it.
I feel like dogs do that sometimes with their owners.
Yeah, it's like, that was funny. What's going on here? Exactly. Trying to get a few more things here. Biggest takeaways, implications. So that's what I'll go to next. Tweet coming in from Tori Joy 09. We're talking about implications from tonight's episode. I feel like John and Danny are going to have a lot of forces working against them this season, but despite it, we'll probably end up together, albeit not on the throne, and Cersei is in for a very rude awakening at the hands of Arya and her new weapon. So, some implications there for sure. Curry, do you want to talk implications from this episode, or where do you want to go to next?
Yeah, so some of the biggest takeaways from this episode, just moving forward, Danny has a lot to learn about the North and how they operate, how things work in the North, how to manage the relationships, the people, because she can't just go around being a conqueror at this point.
No.
Because she has people on her side supporting her, she can't just be fire and blood all the time.
Yeah.
And we've seen the repercussions of that with Sam. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be anything greater than what we saw, which is just, you know, kind of heartbreak. But,
well, now Sam's in his ear saying, like, he's against her.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So she needs to learn, you know, how to handle that a little more. And then John, he needs to know kind of how to be a leader, but the way that Sansa knows how to be a leader, the way to play the game,
yeah,
the politics, the,
because this is all it's going to be.
The lot, not lies really, but, you know, yeah, just that.
The importance of, it's politics. He's got to play politics for sure. So we'll spin through my quick, you know, implications. One, I think a big one, potentially, if Cersei is telling the truth, which we never know, is the Euron pregnancy. Potentially, that's big.
That's big. Going forward.
That's big implications. Them actually doing it means that he's going to be sitting there thinking, this is my kid, if she is pregnant.
Especially with his arrogance.
Exactly. So that's major implications. I would say what I think might be overhyped implications is because we know episode three, Jaime's battling, is this whole like how Jaime's received. No matter what happens, he's going to be fighting in episode three.
We know he's, so far from the preview, that he's not well received, but we also don't know who is going to be in his camp, who's going to be supporting him. We just know he's facing an uphill battle against Daenerys, against
So. But we know he does. He's fighting against the White Walkers in the Battle of Winterfell, so it's not like he gets his head cut off.
I think. I think that obviously Tyrion's there. He's going to be supporting Jaime. We assume. Lady Brienne, I think she's going to be number one in Jaime's
She didn't get
camp.
Anything this episode. That's she what someone, was not someone in this said. The worst part was.
Was she in it at all? I thought maybe like the very first scene where they are.
Yeah, I think. She didn't get any dialogue.
Yeah, she didn't get any scenes other than that. But I think she's going to play a big role next episode in supporting Jaime.
The Jaime
welcomed into Winterfell. The team.
Someone says this is from Rebel with any. I had expected a bit more reaction from John after Sam's reveal. It felt anticlimactic almost. Also significantly missing Brienne from every equation. So
I think John's reaction, like this is an enormous bombshell that was dropped on him. Yeah. So I think the kind of the shock, the inner struggle, yeah. I think that was the appropriate reaction. Evident. I don't think, showing much emotion other than, what he showed would have been appropriate.
My only complaint would be, there's not more screen time of it. Or I guess we're gonna get some more next week, but I wish we got 10 minutes on it. Like, okay, what does this mean? All right, are we 100% sure? Like, what do you mean, Bran? Like, what is Bran? What did Bran see? Like, how did it happen? Like, it's more kind of just like he accepts it. We were thinking how are they? We talked preview show. How are they gonna convince Jon? He's going to be skeptical. This really makes no sense. But it's kind of all right, it's over with. Maybe that's peace.
It's definitely going to be ongoing. And I don't know if he necessarily accepted it. I mean, he didn't. He denied it and said, you're telling me that Ned Stark lied to me his whole life. Yeah. So, I think it's going to take a little more convincing than this. And especially if Jon doesn't buy into it, how will the Northern Lords or Sansa or anyone else buy into it?
This is what I think implications potentially. Where, let me ask you, say it comes, they let it come out, Jon is Aegon Targaryen, right? Mm-hmm. And we know what's been said about betrayal leading up to this season. Is there any less allegiance to Jon from the Starks due to the fact that he's not actually a Stark?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility.
From Sansa and Arya.
I think that Arya's quote that they had in their reunion kind of stands out here. That
she's protecting her family.
She says, I'm protecting my family. And Jon says, I'm your family.
Yeah.
And she says, don't forget that. So I think no matter what, he's still a Stark.
You think he's in?
Yes. So I think, especially with Arya, with Sansa, it might be a little tougher just because she's already kind of... Not,
1 foot out the door in the Jon bandwagon.
Exactly. She's already look, I'm putting the North first. You're putting Daenerys first.
You're not thinking with your head. Yeah.
And he's like, no, I am putting the North first. We need this. So it's definitely going to be a tough balance for Jon moving forward with this information. And I'm interested to see how everyone handles this, how it gets spread, who they tell, who they don't.
It's
how,
so delicate.
It's very delicate.
Is it going to stop the love between Jon and Dany? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we said in our preview pod that Targaryens historically are cool with incest. Yeah. It happens all the time.
It's
the
norm.
That was their way of life.
They want to keep it.
They want to keep the dragon bloodline pure, basically.
Exactly.
And so I think Daenerys probably cool with it. Probably
she's cool with the intimacy, but probably not him being...
the
thing.
She'll totally be cool with I'm you're also my nephew. That's okay.
No big deal.
But Jon definitely probably gonna be weirded out by that, and she's not gonna be cool with. Oh wait, so you're actually the true heir? If we're going by the Westerosi law, I don't think so. I think she's gonna be we're not gonna do that.
No, it's not happening. Yeah. Very, another implication going forward. We just get a Bronn storyline to follow, which I think is great It's great for us.
Yeah, this is the first time Bron has really had his own thing going on.
Solo dolo, yeah.
Yeah, because it's always been Bron and Jaime, Bron and Tyrion.
Exactly.
So that'll be interesting.
Got it.
Shall we get some Goat of the Week, Goat nominee of the Week?
Absolutely.
Goat of the Week nominees?
Yeah, who had the worst episode, who had the best episode? We'll get to that, and then we'll close it down here. Right After Thrones, if you're listening for the first time, always follow us on Twitter at Right After GOT. We always get the polls out each and every week. Who had the best episode? Who had the worst episode? Along with abundance of other content throughout the week. Curry's done such a fantastic job getting everything queued up for the squad, for the followers, very, very much so. So who had the best episode?
So
one can be I want to nominate Bran Stark. This guy was so far on my shit list. Couldn't stand his plot line, and I think he's just he
understands what's important and what's coming and what's not important,
and that trait is important right now.
Yes,
so
it's something that is needed because there's so much bullshit that's in the way when the Night King's coming.
Exactly,
storm's coming,
and more bullshit's coming with Jaime Lannister and with the bloodline and
yes,
and so
things that don't matter
exactly
ultimately. No, so yes,
who else
I agree. Bran Stark's a good nominee for Goat of the Week.
Who else had a good episode?
I would say
Euron Greyjoy. He loses a prisoner.
Yeah, I think Euron Greyjoy is a solid pick.
But he got what he wanted.
He got what he wanted. He
and now he can kind of
he betted the queen. He's in the driver's seat, man.
Exactly, betted the queen. So he's up for best episode. Who else?
Best episode, greatest of all time of the week. I think we would have to go with. Like, do we go Night King?
I was thinking possibly Night King.
We didn't even see him, number one.
I know.
But we saw his
what
he's done.
Sending messages.
He's sending a message, and he's heading for Winterfell.
Yeah.
So, I think Night King, we could possibly go Night King. We'll,
you could possibly go Gendry, too. We could possibly go Gendry for getting some good time in. There's just not a lot of super positives, you know?
Yeah, that's because it was
table setting.
A table-setting episode. There wasn't, you know, no one had like any big victories. We could say Theon or Yara.
Oh, for sure, Theon.
Theon and Yara. Both of them had good episodes. So I would say Theon probably.
Yeah,
Theon. He saved Yara very easily,
and
then
he says,
I'm gonna go to the Starks.
Theon for sure.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die. Are we getting a white version of Theon potentially? All right, worst episode. There's the obvious.
The obvious one, Ned Umber.
Ned Umber
sucks, man. I mean, he was marked for Death Watch. Ned Umber, just and as soon as they said, go head back to the Last Hearth and come back. It's like, you're done. You're not gonna come back. See ya.
You're gone.
So Ned Umber, Ned Umber, Woad of the Week. Definitely a nominee. We'll see what the public decides.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very, very much a front runner. Who else?
I think we could say Sam Tarly.
Sam Tarly.
Not that he himself had too bad of an episode. Like, he didn't really do anything bad, but it's just he found out finally what we've all known for a few episodes now is that his
family,
father, brother were burned alive by Daenerys.
Torched.
So, yeah, and it's a tough look. There's no good way of learning that information.
Exactly. And she was just kind of blunt with it.
Yeah. So Sam Tarly, tough episode, but things will get better for him.
I could talk myself into Daenerys.
I agree.
Things
didn't go well for Daenerys in terms of her reception in Winterfell.
Yeah, she's got and she just found out she's not the rightful heir.
She didn't find out yet,
but it's
out there.
It's out there now. This is
the movement has been started.
Exactly. That's not good. Anyone else?
Part of me wants to say Jaime, just because I mean he didn't really do much, but he's been ultimately replaced down in King's Landing.
And Cersei's into it. It's not like
Cersei's into it, and he got to Winterfell, and Bran's there waiting for him, which is not good for Jaime. But
yeah.
I think it'll end up okay. But so we could say Jaime, but
and his boy, and he just got a bounty on his
and
head.
There's a bounty on him. Yes. So, not a great episode for Jaime.
We saw him for 10 seconds, and he might have had the worst episode, besides Ned Umber for us. Any other thoughts before we get... I mean, how about just a funny... with Sam falling down in the crypts. Classic.
Yeah,
classic Sam.
He also... Yeah, he fell. Put that in his woke call.
Yeah, he fell in the crypts. Anything else we want to get to before we wrap it up here?
I don't know.
Episode one in the books, man.
We only have
five more.
Like, oh, that's crazy. It's good. It's a good episode. We enjoyed it with our Amagong Game of Thrones beers. We had some Queen of the Seven Kingdoms and a little bit. I have over here the King of the North. So we'll probably do that for most of the season. Have a little drink, a little beverage.
Yeah, for sure. Elephants. We got no elephants. That's tough.
No elephants.
We
true.
Talked about that. Yeah.
So we'll get our polls out there as soon as we wrap up here. You guys can vote for the next few days on that for Goat and Word of the Week. And
we're going to get more screen time next week.
Yes.
It was only 54.
Is the episode longer this week?
Yeah, it was only 54. I'll bring up. You got it over there? I'll bring it up.
No, I don't have it up.
I'll pull it up here. Looking through a bunch of pictures we've sent in this chat. But yeah, only 54 this week. Oh, this is the rewatch.
One thing we have, as I'm looking at the preview coming up for next week, is that Tormund and Beric and crew, they arrive at Winterfell. Yeah, and they say, we only have until before the sun comes up tomorrow for the White Walkers to get here.
White Walkers are wheeling. They are absolutely wheeling.
So we probably won't see them next episode.
We
won't see them in Winterfell for sure. We might get our first glimpse of them this season.
Next episode, we're looking at Jaime Lannister reception. It's probably more positioning, potentially bloodline talk, disclosure.
Yeah. Next week is going to be, unfortunately, another setup episode because episode three is the bang. That's what
so,
we're
yeah.
setting up for.
54 minutes tonight, which is short. 58 minutes next week. Then 82, big time, longest episode, probably longest episode in the series. 82 minutes, episode three. Then 78, 80 to finish it out. So, yeah, I think we get one more maneuvering, positioning, political episode, and then we really get cooking, which is weird to say because we only have five episodes left.
I know. I think after that third after next episode, I think it's just going to be
full throttle,
phenomenal episodes all the way out.
So yeah, solid episode. Anything else to add here before we wrap it up?
I'm hoping we get more content during the week. I know HBO and crew is keeping everything under wraps as much as they can.
Don't blame them.
But I'm hoping we can get what we usually get for a preview pod is the title of the episode.
Yep.
There's like usually a photo release leading up to the episode. And we did get a preview. I wasn't sure if we were going to get a preview trailer. So, at least we have some things to go off of. But yeah, so I'm hoping we get more content in time for our preview episode, which will be out towards the end of the week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. Solid hour and 15 minutes, went a little longer than the show went even tonight. But yeah, follow us on Twitter right after GOT, content galore. Always tweeting out good stuff. This is your first time listening. If you're listening live, you missed anything, podcast versions out Monday morning on your drive to work. Tune back in. I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, just make sure if you like it, rate, review, subscribe.
That was it.
Yep. We appreciate all our listeners, all our downloads. Very appreciated. Thank you.
Awesome. So that was season 8, episode 1, Game of Thrones in the books. We have five more to go. And as always, join us again next week right after Thrones.